The lesson from St. Mark, chapter 15. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying out, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus, after he had scourged him, to be crucified. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Who crucified Jesus? Does it matter who did this? As Christians, we know that Jesus' blood on the cross covers our sins and delivers us from hell. He died that we might live. But who really was responsible for Jesus being condemned to death and suffering crucifixion? Is it a simple answer or more complicated? Our text says that the chief priests, the Jewish leaders, handed him over. The chief priests stirred up the crowd to shout, "Crucify him." And sadly, this aspect of who killed Jesus has been misused in too many places to blame all Jewish people for Jesus' death. The Bible is not anti-Semitic. The Jewish people were Jesus' own people. He was born to a Jewish mother, a descendant of King David. There were many Jewish people in Jesus' day who believed in him as the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. His own disciples were Yochanan, Yaakov, Matthai, and Ta'om, Hebrew names that become John and James and Matthew and Thomas. But many of the Jewish religious leaders rejected Jesus' claim, and many of the common people too. They rejected Jesus' claim that he was the Son of God and the promised Savior. So they plotted to kill him. Peter, later on Pentecost, was preaching about Jesus and said to those Jewish people who were gathered there, he said, "You murdered Jesus." But on their own, those religious leaders did not have the authority to put anyone to death. They couldn't crucify Jesus. They were under Roman rule at that time and needed a Roman official to condemn Jesus in order for him to be crucified. And our text says, Pilate, delivered Jesus to be crucified. In the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, we confess that Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. In a sense, it was Pilate that crucified and killed Jesus, the Son of God. And he did this knowing and believing that Jesus was innocent, that his opponents had handed him over out of envy and hatred. At one point, Pilate makes a ceremony of washing his hands and saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." But that self-chosen symbolic act could not remove anyone's guilt. Pilate knew this was unjust. So can we now have a clear conscience about Jesus' death? Can we wash our hands of the matter because the Bible points to those other people as the murderers of Jesus? Hardly. Peter says, "Jesus himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust." Paul simply says, "Christ died for us." Christ died because we are sinners. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. Very simply, we can say, we caused Jesus' crucifixion. We even sing in the hymn, "I crucified thee." Our greed, our hatred, our lust, our disrespect, our laziness, our idolatry, all of those sins that we commit and think about, sent Jesus to the cross. And yet Jesus went willingly. He could have stopped Judas. He could have thwarted the religious leaders. He could have overturned Pilate's condemnation. He could have come down from the cross. But because he loves us, he stayed and suffered and endured. Perhaps most striking to consider is what the prophet Isaiah says about who crucified Jesus, who caused Jesus' suffering, and what we sang in the hymn. Jesus was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We sang, many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. God is just and holy, and therefore he demands payment for sin. But he is also gracious and merciful, so the Blessed Trinity determined together this plan for our salvation, that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, would become mortal, would become incarnate, take on human flesh, and suffer in the place of all mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. Jesus went willingly, but that did not lessen the pain and the suffering. Jesus felt the deep pain of those thorns in his crown, the whipping, the nails. In the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat turned to blood because of his suffering and pain. He truly thirsted on the cross. This was no phantom. This was no theater performance. This was pain and shame and death. Our pain, our shame, the death we deserve. This was the sentence delivered by God himself, the judge in heaven, who condemns our sin, but places the punishment on Jesus. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But that also becomes the blessed and happy news of our salvation. For us, Jesus suffered. For us, Jesus died. For us, Jesus made full and perfect payment to release us from hell, to open heaven to all believers. For us, Jesus rose again from the dead that we might live and have eternal life. Who crucified Jesus? It is most important to remember that our sins caused Jesus' crucifixion. It is also important to remember that it happened in real time and real space in a real event under Pontius Pilate. But it is equally important to know and believe and trust that God did this for our salvation, to rescue us, deliver us, free us, and give us life instead of death, hope instead of despair. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies from Adam through Malachi, and even to John the Baptist, who points to Jesus and simply says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When you look at the cross, there behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.